Welcome, one and all, as we close out the week here on The Daily Rich Report. Me, John Derulo, and joining us, as always, on Fridays, host of The Happy Half Hour, Brett Ehrlich.
What's going on? Thank you guys so much for joining me on Happy Half Hour. I didn't have much coffee yet. What show is this?
Yeah, so you just said you didn't have coffee. You also mentioned not eating, and I'm not 100% sure you're familiar with the material. So you've got nothing in your brain or stomach, and I'm a little bit, or in your blood. So I'm a little bit worried about what's going on right now.
In my experience, the more I prepare for something, the more I suck at it. I've read this. I know vaguely what stories we're covering, and I am familiar with the material. But if you ask me what we're covering at this point, I would not be able to tell you without looking back.
Well, allow me to tell you in one moment, because it's actually fascinating. I'm excited for garbage people as well. We have some advice for you. Really Chill Guy says, use Stims, Brett. That's funny. Yonex says, breath decaf. And your wife says, I forgot to make him coffee and breakfast, which is true. If she forgets to make you coffee and breakfast, there's no way that food or drink can enter your body. I mean, how would it at that point? You're only a full grown man.
John, you know, there's plenty of ways for drink to enter my body immediately. Yes, I have that ability. I just shouldn't.
I understand the appeal of it right now. But anyway,
it's actual booze. I can only drink fake booze on this show.
Okay, well, we'll limit it to that. Anyway, we do have things that we're going to talk about. And thankfully, we have a little document with summaries of all of it. So no, we're going to be talking about billionaires. Who actually did stuff to help out billionaires? Is it Trump? Is it Biden? The battle rages. Who's to say, except for everybody who pays attention to politics? So we'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about the hush money case. Is it the least important of the criminal cases that Trump is facing? We're going to have a little bit of a debate. We're going to talk about milkshakes versus ice cream. Which is the manly choice for your sweet cream? And a whole lot more besides. That's just in the first hour. Coming up in the aftermath, we not only have, of course, our garbage people of the week. And if you're just listening on the podcast, definitely head over to the YouTube page so you can watch those every week. And also, in addition to that, we've got more enforced segregation in movies, but this based purely off of a rumor. Racist attacks flying around based in no part on reality. So, you know, I'm gonna have fun with that. In any event, we are also giving away the Blueprint gift cards once again. So send in your comments, your tweets, your super chats, make a joke. Let us know what's going on in the world. Maybe say something insightful and you might get yourself that $100 Blueprint gift card. But with all that said, Brett, are you ready to do this thing?
Whether I am or not, you've been more than fair.
I've been more than
fair. Step on my line again, John. This is going to be a great show.
Brett, are you ready to talk about politics? Damn. Bastard. Oh, man.
Whether I am or not. You've been more than fair.
Play the video.
Their policies have benefited, the Biden administration policies have benefited billionaires, whereas Trump's policies benefited working people.
Come on, JD. It's like, I know the grift that you're doing. I know, you know, being like a serious academic and writer is way in the past for you, but Biden is like carrying water for the billionaires and Trump, he wasn't interested in them at all. I think that that's beyond even your advanced skills at propaganda, but I'm sure you'll get an assist from Fox News. So anyway, he's trying to do PR for Trump. He knows that Trump is, you know, has a difficult path to getting reelected, particularly in these hard economic times where people are really feeling the strain of wages not growing at the pace that they need to, inflation still at a level that nobody is comfortable with. So let's just rewrite history for Donald Trump. There's a couple of issues with that, though, that we should acknowledge. First of all, hey, you remember the 4 years that Trump was president? You remember the legislation they passed? The one piece of legislation, the only important piece of legislation that they actually passed? What did that do again? Oh, yeah, it was trillions of dollars in tax cuts for the uber wealthy. That wasn't Joe Biden that was president then. I know that there's a lot of confusion by right wingers on if it's Biden, if it's Obama, but no, that was actually Trump. And in no small part, since that tax overhaul, US billionaires have doubled their wealth. They were already billionaires at that point and it shot up. So as of this month, the US's 806 billionaires are worth a collective $5.8 trillion. That means that just that 800 people, That's a crowd of people, but you fit them on a football field or whatever. They control one out of every $25 of American wealth. And that, again, has doubled. They were already worth a collective $2.9 trillion way back in 2017. But in addition to that, back in 2017, none of the richest Americans were, and this is sort of a new term for me, centibillionaires, meaning that they didn't have over $100 billion. It wasn't a thing in America. Now the top 10 US billionaires are all centibillionaires. And some have shot way past that. They're lapping it. Jeff Bezos, richest person in America, $198 billion. Michael Bloomberg, he's the poorest of the top 10. He's only got $106 billion. But they've all shot up. I mean, Elon Musk, his wealth has increased 850%. Now, part of that is due to people going insane over Tesla stock or whatever. But the tax bill certainly helped. And look, if you want to make the case that at a fundamental level, both parties typically do what is necessary to maintain or increase millionaire and billionaire wealth, you can do that. But the idea that that wasn't a thing that Trump was interested in, but it's one of the priorities of Joe Biden, who you attack as being too punitive against the wealthy constantly. How are you gonna do that day after day? And then, oh God, the election's coming. He's the billionaire guy. I don't buy it, but maybe the Fox audience likes it. Brett, what do you think?
This is the legend written by Carpetbagger Vance. Listen. This guy's a writer. J.D. Vance wrote Hillbilly Elegy. His job is to take bits of reality and weave them into a narrative according to how he wants the story to be told and how he wants the narrative to go. And in this case, he wants the narrative to go through Donald Trump's beehole. Donald Trump, just to give you an idea of how ambitious the right is and in their quest to warp reality. They want you to believe that billionaire Donald Trump, golden toilet Donald Trump, this guy whose entire narrative is he is Gordon Gekko, that greed is good 80s cartoon is actually for the working folk, especially when the only thing, as John points out, he did as president of the United States was take away regular people's right to choose what to do with their own body, one. And two, pass tax cuts for the billionaires and millionaires of the world to make their lives easier. And as John will show you, his history, Trump's history, is completely full of easily findable proof to this effect that he thinks it is bad when people are paid more.
100%. 100%.
Working this is people.
This is going to be a tough row to hoe for J.D. Vance, but he's going to try. So look, as we sit here, they're trying to pitch Donald Trump as a populist. He's not interested in millionaires and billionaires. That's not his people. I mean, sure, he gave them trillions of dollars as president, but that was in the past, certainly not going forward. Okay, well, let's just tune in to a little bit of his recent speech at Mar-a-Lago.
We did the largest tax cuts in history. Yes. Think of it.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. I think voters might think about it. I love how skilled he is at fitting as much corruption as possible in one little soundbite. Because it isn't just we gave tax cuts to you, all of you wealthy people. And if you're a regular MAGA person, you'll notice you're not in that crowd. Poor MAGA people are not in that crowd. Working class, middle class MAGA people are not in that crowd. Some of the richest people in the country are in that crowd because he puts tweets out for you. He gives trillions of dollars to them. And then he turns to the members of Congress and says, they give you so much money. Like, I don't know how to better summarize how American politics works. Republicans get in office, they give massive tax cuts to the wealthy. The wealthy in turn give 0.01% of it back to Republicans who get into office to give them tax cuts. And that's how it works when it comes to the money. But beyond just that, J.D. Vance, senator, who's now super Trumpian, even though he's previously called Trump America's potential Hitler, wants you to believe that it is Trump who is your advocate, your champion when it comes to wages. Take a look.
The contrast could not be clearer. The people's president trying to raise your wages and deliver prosperity, and Joe Biden hobnobbing with the billionaires because those are the people who benefit from his policies.
Okay, so he's the one who wants to raise your wages. And JD Vance says that about Trump, who will as we'll turn to, has a very different view than he would imply on wages. But he's saying that on Fox News, which is like fresh off of freaking out about the fact that some workers in California's wages just went up. And that's not like a random position of theirs. They can always be depended on to demonize the poorest people making literally a cent more than they already do. So I don't even understand the doublethink at this point, but perhaps we could just focus on Trump, who had said about union workers, they get their little 5%, they get another 2%. All of a sudden they're making more money than the people that own the company, which is definitely a thing that's happened at least once in American history. It bothers him so much that unionized workers might get a raise of 5% or 2%. I'll remind you, Elon Musk's wealth after the tax cut went up by 850%, and others gained massive amounts as well. Billionaires on average doubled their wealth, but he will begrudge you making 5% more. And this is not a new thing for Donald Trump. Notably, in 2015, he said in his opening statement at a debate in the Republican primary that wages are too high. Not like union wages are too high or a specific sector's wages are too high. The blanket statement, wages are too high, which I stupidly, naively at the time thought would end his career in politics, but it didn't. And to be clear, it didn't like not end his career because he turned away from that position. He doubled down on that statement saying, no, you heard me right. Our wages are too high. So I say this for you, dear audience, to see, but also for Senator JD Vance. He's not the guy you're pretending he is. Brett, what are your thoughts?
Like, Joe Biden has said that our unions are the best unions in the world. He went and actually joined the picket line. Like, he's done things that no president has ever done. That's just stuff that's on its face pretty obvious. Donald Trump, like, remember when Mitt Romney had a hidden camera video exposed that he said that 47% of Americans are never going to vote for us. They're going to vote for Obama because they're on the take from the government. They're dependent on government assistance. That took some kind of political acumen to understand as dismissive, a very one percentery thing to say, because it's like sent through a filter of the welfare state and coded language from the Reagan era. Here's Donald Trump out there saying, you get paid too much. Hey, worker, you get paid too much. You should have absolutely no leverage in the workplace. You should have no representation. This is a guy who is a yuppie. He is the emblem of the yuppie from the 80s. He is Coke smoke personified. He is when people were like, oh my God, sushi's going to be a thing. By the way, let's be vulture capitalist. That is Donald Trump. Yeah. And still, and it comes down to one thing that I've noticed about Biden. He just needs a vibe. Biden doesn't have a vibe. The reason I think that Trump is able to make these claims so brazenly is at least he has a vibe. At least he's got some swagger about him. And he's such a pathological liar. At least he says it confidently. I don't get a single vibe from Biden. Biden, who invested in union jobs through the infrastructure bill.
Yeah.
But Trump would never do that. Has never done it. Proudly says that it's a stupid idea to pay people more. How are people ever going to believe it? The answer simply is he has a vibe, and he has folks like JD Vance and the Fox News and the entire extended right-wing media apparatus echoing those claims over and over and over again.
Yeah. We will never know if even with his vibe, like an unadulterated Republican electorate would buy or not buy his statements, because we don't have that. It's not an experiment you can run. All we have is people whose minds have been reduced to a lumpy mush by years and years of Fox News. And so they'll believe that simultaneously, Biden is too mean to companies and they're constantly trying to raise minimum wage, but also he's bad because he doesn't care about wages And Trump, who says they're too high, is actually the guy that cares about them. And look, I'm tempted to say, I don't understand how you could believe those two things. But like, they have been taught that, okay, wages will go up under Republican because Republicans will give the rich everything that they want. And then because the rich become so bloated with cash, some of it will sweat out of them and drip onto us. And that's how it's supposed to work. In the same way that these people are constantly looking for conspiracies. They believe that everything has somebody, you know, behind the curtain pulling the strings. But the basic concept that rich people and corporations donate to politicians to get what they want in politics is incomprehensible to them. They don't understand that, or at least they don't have a problem with Republicans taking that money. It's like, if it's too obvious, they've been taught to not trust it, even if the obvious thing is true. It's almost more suspect because it's so obvious at that point. But anyway, we do have to turn to something else, which is also obvious, the trouble for Truth Social. See, that's a transition for you. That's why I should make the $25 million a year that Sean Hannity makes. Anyway. Why are you thumbs up?
I thought it was a good transition, and then you ruined it, John.
I like the acknowledgement. Okay, well, unfortunately, thanks to that acknowledgement, I ruined the smooth transition. Yeah. So I'm gonna try again. Let's do this. Okay. Trump Media stock continues its gradual free fall. Shares of Trump Media have erased all of the gains that they made after the stock went public just a few weeks ago. And I want to show you what that looks like in practice. So here you have it at a little bit less than $31. That's after rallying from earlier in the morning. The stock closed down more than 8%. That was on Monday at $37. So it's dropped quite a bit since then. But that's just the last few days. And while it doesn't look great, you know, number supposed to go up, number not supposed to go down. When you zoom out, it looks a lot worse. Because if you take a look at the period leading up to the IPO, and then ever since it, I'm not an expert investor or anything, but I don't think that's a good sign, okay? It was nearly $70. It's at $30 now. It is worth less than it was before the IPO. And the best part of all of this is Donald Trump saw that number go up like numbers supposed to, okay? Line go up. But he can't do anything about it. He's got billions in stock, but he can't sell it. And now it's worth less than the IPO with nowhere to go but down from here. And he is feeling the pressure. And I know it because of something he posted on Truth Social, which we will get to. But first, Brett, what are your thoughts?
I love this. This is like everything about Donald Trump's economic model brought into one thing. On the one hand, you've got, you know, he says that regular workers doing jobs, building things you can hold in your hand, they're getting paid too much. On the other hand, he is also the emblem of the Bitcoin speculator stonk craze. And this is it. In similar to a lot of the, and there are people who are gonna get rich off of that. And just like the economy itself, how you and I, we don't really understand entire sectors of the economy, the financial sector, the speculation, how capitalists can fail 9 out of 10 times and have one payout and just retire off of it. Yeah. And not really have to incur any of the burden of the losses that suffer the consequences of the losses that they incur. This is it. This is Donald Trump. He's a great marketer with absolutely no actual economic skill.
Yeah.
No business skill. So he can get people to pay attention to it, and he can convince millions of schmuckos out there that he is actually the best businessman to ever business. But really, all he did was attach his name to something. Because he's a good marketer and nothing else, it became popular. Because it's so difficult to get things popular at all in the world, he has a leg up in that. And that's how he created fictional value in something for a second until everybody realized there was no value in that value.
Yeah. And not only is there no value in the value, there's no value where it's at now. It ain't worth $31. It ain't worth nothing. So we'll see. Does it get to 20 next week? Does it get to 10? I don't know. An investing question from the audience. Somebody asks, so now is the time to buy? And yes, it is. Assuming that you are living out some sort of Brewster's Billions type situation and you need to get rid of all your money fast, yes, now is the time to invest. But really fast, is it possible to the TD, is it possible to bring that last chart graphic 9 up next to me? I don't know if we can do that. If we can do that, I think it would be helpful, because like we're as Brett just pointed out, Trump doesn't understand any of this stuff. And we put up a chart like that and it's really complicated. And then we're talking about like, you know, like what it's really worth and everything. I think that we should describe the path of the stock in terms that he would understand, which would go like this. Bing, 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 bing. That's how it goes, Trump. That's how stock work. But anyway, he put out a statement on True Social. We'll skip past Devin Nunes. Devin Nunes was asked about that. And he's like, I'm not worried. This is fine. It's totally cool. So anyway, we don't need to read his thing. But anyway, Trump posted on True Social, the website that is worth less than half what it was a couple of weeks ago. I am so proud of True Social because I believe it represents the Make America Great Again movement. And I would argue that right now, maybe it does. But anyway, it shows the spirit and capital love of our country. If people who believe in putting America first and want to make America great again support truth, we will be your voice like never before. And a real voice is what our country needs. I love the idea that as a stand-in for actually caring about the truth, you can support truth by throwing your money into the dumpster fire of his stock. Maybe that'll make you feel better. It won't help your retirement fund, but feel free to do that if you want. Any other thoughts, Brett?
I'd love to see who sold it off when it went high, because those folks were probably the ones who have the actual business skill. Those were the ones who knew exactly how little value it deserved at the time that it was wildly overvalued.
Yeah.
You know, I hope there are a bunch of people who shorted the hell out of it when they had the chance and walked away with, you know, a ton more money than they walked
in. I should have. I told the audience never to listen to me on finances, but I said you should probably short it. I didn't, because I don't know how to do that. But but anyway, so somebody made money. And look, some of those people that made money might have been like true believers, regular MAGA people. Now, they probably would not have thought to sell it off when they did, so I don't think so. I think that there were some smart people who made money, but just like with crypto pump and dumps, and this might well be a pump and dump, he couldn't sell his stock, but that doesn't mean that other people that he knows didn't sell their stock. They made their money, but where did they make their money from? They made their money from the people who bought it right before it started to drop. They had it at a lower value. It massively increased in value. People are still buying it up because they believe this con. And then poof, their money's gone into the pockets of the people who knew better. That's how all of these cons work. Yes, some people can make money, but it is not set up for you, a regular MAGA person, to ever make money off of it.
Yeah.
And yes, final point goes to you then.
There might be value in this company still, because it is so difficult to get anyone to use a new social media site. I think there is value. I think at a certain point, the value will go up at a very steady, basic rate, but it will take a very long time if it ever reaches the heights it was at. And that kind of volatility is another reason that I don't think Trump is a good president. He brings that volatility to every step of our process. And that's the stuff that actually bit him in the butt and got him to out of the White House in the first place. He's not a steady leader. He's always making everybody freak out and run at the next distraction. In this case, it cost people millions of dollars.
Yeah,
and hit billions.
The perfect answer to their reasoning that they give, the pundits and some Republican politicians, about why like a woman shouldn't be president. She'll be emotional. She'll be what? Trump is the most emotional person that we've ever had in public life. He is wild. He is irrational. He is illogical. He is impossible to predict. Anyway, we're going to take our first break. Lots more to talk about on the other side of this. Welcome back, everyone. In the social break, we were talking about me potentially being with Emma on Majority Report. I do like the idea of pre-taping a segment. That definitely seems possible. Really fast, I'm just throw it out there. I used to have this idea of sort of like a panel show for progressives. It'd be like four of us. But the thing about the show that I thought was interesting is the show would not be on one YouTube channel. Every episode, it would switch between the four. So they would all benefit from doing it as like,
you sound like my, stuff I had a friend.
Is that not a good idea? It's on my channel 1 week, the next week it's on Emma's, the next week it's on. I think that's cool. That way it's all collaborating and it's all linking. No? Anyway, whatever.
It's just, it you guess. Sound like my friend who was like, you know what? I'm going to do a band where we have all different instruments. And in order to create chords, all the different instruments play one note. It's like that. Just everybody play music. Just play the that right notes.
Good. Would it be
it's
the brown note?
It sounds terrible. Anyway, it's bad. Okay. It only works with like stringed instruments or like reed instruments. It doesn't work with different kinds of tone color instruments. That's it. And it's so smart. It's such a smart idea. It is the dumbest idea.
Okay. Well, then it sounds like something I'd be interested in. Anyway, with that said, we have a lot of other stuff to talk about. So we're gonna have to be a little bit quick, but let's do it. We know that Donald Trump has lost a step. His brain is the consistency of tapioca pudding. But I think that he should be able to understand, even at this point, what a gag order is. He certainly truths enough about how he's been gagged. And yet, he doesn't seem to understand what the limits of it are, because he posted on Truth Social this, a message from Michael Avenatti talking about the First Amendment and how he doesn't think it's fair that Stormy Daniels or Michael Cohen can talk about Trump, but Trump is gagged. So Trump retruthed that and said, thank you for revealing the truth about two sleaze bags who have, with their lies and misrepresentations, cost our country dearly. Now, both Cohen and Daniels are expected to be witnesses in this trial. I would be shocked if they were not. His gag order is specific that he is not allowed to attack a variety of different people involved in the trial, but the witnesses are very much on that list. And so the question is this an attack? Well, he called them sleazebags and liars who misrepresent things. If that is not an attack on their credibility, trying to predispose the jury or, you know, random people against them, I don't know exactly what would be. So he seems to be pretty flagrantly breaking that gag order, which again, it was originally passed in March, revised on April 1st. He has had more than enough time to understand what the bounds of it actually are. Now, it was not specific about what sort of attacks would run afoul of it. But again, if this doesn't, I don't know what would, other than him literally saying, I want someone to shoot them. So we'll have to see. I don't know. Michael Cohen certainly thinks that it's a violation. Now, look, obviously he has sort of a dog in this fight, but he says he will say whatever he wants. He violates the gag order, and like a petulant child, there appear to be no repercussion. He legitimately just posted something calling me a sleaze bag. And of course, he attacked Stormy Daniels as well. It's called witness intimidation and obstruction of justice. I don't know if it's actually either of those things, maybe the witness intimidation, but it's certainly a violation of the gag order, at least to me. I'm not a lawyer. Again, like Alina Haba, I don't understand the law particularly well, but it seems to me, a layperson, to be a violation. Brett, what do you think?
Oh, I don't care. I think this is wildly entertaining, though. I don't think we need to be the people in this scenario who say whether this aspect is fair or not. This is silly. This is hoo-ha fun fun town. I don't really think that whether Trump is out there decrying and impugning the integrity of people and like wanting Avenatti's opinion to be the one that stands, especially because Avenatti himself is in jail right now.
Yeah, and Cohen had been, of course. There's a lot of jail to go around.
And Stormy Daniels is out there. I guess she's the only one that comes out like a winner in this scenario. Mm-hmm. I think it's weird that they can go out and do things if your idea if the justification is that you shouldn't be poisoning the well of potential jurors with getting things out there into the ether, into the national discourse that make one person or another involved in the trial seem stupid or terrible. I understand your instinct, Michael Avenatti and Donald Trump, to say that's unfair, but it's the law, them's the breaks. I'm for law and order. And yeah. I love to see a bunch of garbage people piling on each other like this. It makes me very happy.
100%. And it is so important to him to not be gagged. Like, most people don't spend the months leading up to their trial viciously attacking the people in the trial in public. Why is that so important to him? Either on First Amendment grounds, which again, the First Amendment is not absolute, then they don't think that it should be, but also as a legal strategy, why is this so important to you?
No.
Want the jury to think that they're liars, present evidence to that effect.
No, but well,
final thought goes to you.
The specific answer to that is the kind of juror who's for Donald Trump already likes that he does this. And Donald Trump's simultaneously running for president and he needs to seem strong. This is a campaign thing. But that's just one possibility within a subsection of my favorite conversation. My favorite conversation is this Donald Trump strategy or can he just not help himself? Mm-hmm. And that applies to everything. Everybody says that Donald Trump is doing like the Nixonian. He's a crazy person. Don't mess with the United States. He's intentionally presenting himself as so mercurial. Is he? The billion-dollar question is that a strategy or is it coincidentally an explanation for his behavior? Because he just is kind of a crackpot.
I will only say this. I don't have answers to all of your questions. I will say this. We are one day closer to the trial and it has not yet been delayed.
Just get us to the trial.
Do it, dudes.
Anyway, with that said, I want to do the reset here. So let's go to graphic six. We're going to have to be fast with this, but I think it's important and I want to talk about it. Okay. The Stormy Daniels hush money case is the least important criminal case facing Donald Trump, right? I mean, that's what people say. It's the least important. It doesn't involve nuclear secrets. It doesn't involve a coup. How could it be that important? But is that conventional wisdom actually right? I mean, regular people sure seem to think that it's important. There was a poll by Reuters recently, and 64% of registered voters described the charges as at least somewhat serious. Only about 1 in 3 said that they lacked seriousness. And at that point, you're potentially getting down into core Trump-based territory where they would, he could literally shoot Joe Biden in the face in a debate and they would say that the charges were unwarranted. So maybe that's not good evidence. I don't know. I mean, roughly 4 in 10 Republicans believe that it's serious. 2/3 of independents. So it's a pretty broad base of people that think that this is not just some irrelevant sideshow. Now, as a comparison to the last case that he recently lost, that's the business fraud case in New York, close to 1/3 of Republicans and close to 2/3 of independents said that it was believable that he had falsified those. So they took it sort of seriously. It's not a 1-to-1 thing, it's not apples to apples, but a higher percentage of both of those groups think that this is more serious. So maybe it's something that people need to actually consider. And I would also throw out there that a lot of the ways that people talk about this case might not intentionally make people think that it's less serious than it is. And I include myself in that group. When we refer to it as the hush money case or the Stormy Daniels case, that is accurate. But at the same time, it doesn't really focus on what is important about this case. I mean, it doesn't even really focus on what is at stake legally in this case. I mean, the hush money is sort of the thing, but it's not the payments that this case is about. And it's certainly not the affair that the case is about. It's about the falsifying of the business records. And in a wider sense, the reason that it's important is because this was an attempt at election interference by Donald Trump. In the immediate run-up to the election, we could have found out that he had done what he did. And you know, America's terrible. Maybe that wouldn't have had an effect on the election, but I will remind you, the election in the end was very, very close. He won by less than 80,000 votes across 3 states. Is it inconceivable that that sort of bombshell, not just him, but Karen McDougal as well, that dropping right before the election might have influenced the outcome? And he did all of what he did, what he is alleged to have criminally done, to make sure that people did not have that information right before the election. So again, is it about an affair? Yes. Is it about Stormy Daniels? Yes. Is it about hush money? Yes. But it's also about an attempt to swing the election for him that might well have been successful. Brett, what do you think?
Right. This is fascinating. I love your analysis of it. The fascinating aspect, that other aspect of it for me is, how is Biden potentially losing to this guy?
Yeah.
The kind of people who would say that if you ask 64% of voters a question, or if you ask 100% of voters a question, and 64 of them say that, like, a charge levied against Donald Trump is serious. And further, that breakdown that you offered about Republicans, it's just like that is a wide opening for Joe Biden to message effectively to those Republicans to get them to separate themselves from Donald Trump. In this, which I would say is the least serious of the stories that of his trials. This is the one that is the least serious because it's like hush money to a porn star. It's the one that is the easiest to message as ridiculous, and still 64% of people find it serious. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is interesting. I mean, look, we're gonna have to see as the trial goes on. Like, we're gonna have Michael Cohen, a guy who, remember, already went to jail for his connection to this story. So it was certainly serious to Michael Cohen. We're gonna have, you know, Stormy Daniels talking about, you know, her actual experience. And so are people gonna take it more seriously as a result of that? Will Donald Trump testify and make a mockery of the entire process? Stay tuned to find out, because we will certainly be checking in on a daily basis as this thing moves forward.
Democrats and the mainstream media just can't stop calling former President Trump a threat to democracy. Time and time again, we've heard them repeat the same phrase ad nauseum. But is he really? The former president has been busy on the campaign trail, and yesterday's visit to an Atlanta Chick-fil-A is now going viral online. Trump treated customers to chicken and milkshakes, appealing to voters with a campaign strategy and, some argue, just a personality trait of meeting people, of meeting voters where they are. Watch.
So can I have 30 milkshakes and also some chicken? I'm going to take care of the customers.
I will never understand why he stands like this. It's very, very weird. That's weird. But she's right. She is describing an immutable law of politics that is as true in America in 2024 as it's ever been around the world. You cannot be a fascist if you buy people chicken and milkshakes. And as I have said many times on the show, I think that Mussolini could have avoided a lot of negative press if he had just handed out Stromboli and gelato, because you can't be a fascist if you do that. They really think that we're stupid over at Fox News. She transitioned smoothly from, they say he's a threat to democracy. You know, the guy who launched a coup, but how could that be so when he bought chicken sandwiches for people? I mean, look, a lot of people online don't have a lot of respect for their audience, but I think that that is really striking a new path, a bold new path to not giving a damn about the people that are listening to you. But we're not gonna be that easily fooled, okay? We understand what is going on right now, and we understand what Donald Trump has done in the past. Although there might be attempts to distract you from that. Take a look at this.
Just like what happens after every eclipse, everybody knows Trump's gonna leave office just like he did the last time.
I hope not. I remember the last time, Jesse Waters. I think you probably do too. But anyway, I do wanna turn back to Chick-fil-A, because this is very important to Fox News. Jesse Waters is mad at the media, not for the same reason as the first host that we showed you. It's not about calling Trump a threat to democracy, but he's mad that they're not focusing on his trip to Chick-fil-A. In fact, he said on his show, for which he earns millions of dollars a year, that the coverage of Dexter Reed's killing by police is a plot by the media to hide Donald Trump's visit to Chick-fil-A. Now, if you're not familiar with this, Dexter Reed is an individual who's tragically killed by police in an incredibly suspicious situation wherein they fired 96 shots at him in less than 1 minute. It is an objective tragedy. And Jesse Waters will acknowledge it very briefly, but only for the purposes of pointing out how the media is being mean to Donald Trump. Okay, he cares more about the 30 milkshakes and the handful of chicken sandwiches than about the 96 bullets and the fact that a man is dead. And in both of those cases, Jesse Waters and is it Emily Campagno, they say all of this. It was not something that they stumbled into. They wrote it into a teleprompter because they thought it was a killer argument. They thought they were winning with this thing. I think it's utterly ridiculous. But Brett, what do you think?
I mean, the saying that Trump can't be a threat to democracy because he bought Chick-fil-A has a severe, like Hitler was an artist vibes.
Yeah.
Those things are true. Both those things are true. He went and bought things. Also, if you buy water for someone voting in Georgia, you go to jail. Yeah. Donald Trump is running for president. He bought a bunch of Chick-fil-A for people at a campaign stop. How is that any different? Like, if a Democrat did that, they would become the number one threat to democracy in America. And this is the thing. I have a whole video coming out about this over the weekend, I believe, on Rebel HQ. It's about the anatomy of this insane thing they do at Fox News. They're not mad at Donald Trump for trying to end democracy, which he did. He said, he called and was like, hey, I need you to find more votes than I lost by and give them to me. encouraged people. His supporters are down there saying, hang Mike Pence. He wanted, if he could, we all know it. We all know it with every fiber of our being. They know it, that Donald Trump wasn't just gonna walk away. He didn't try to just walk away. He seriously entertained the thing that much of our democracy depends on, which is people saying, listen, yeah, I wanna challenge this, but doing so is false. It's just my hubris, so I'm gonna walk away. He didn't do that. He challenged it in ways that now it is incumbent upon the Democrats, the people opposing him, to show up and say, what Donald Trump is doing is a threat to what we call America, as we understand America with all its flaws. They want us to seem crazy for calling out what happened, for calling out the truth. Laura Ingraham, as you'll see in the video that I made, Laura Ingraham takes the next step. And she says that the Democrats, well, if that's their position, they're gonna have to stop him, aren't they? So they're gonna have to lock him up. And now they're locking up their political opponents, which is like someone goes and vandalizes all the houses in your neighborhood, day in, day out. And I say, that guy vandalized that house, that guy vandalized that house, that guy vandalized that house. Things that are undeniably true. And they're like, this guy is crazy. Every time I talk to this guy, he's talking about how someone vandalized a house in a neighborhood. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's illegal for reasons. We shouldn't allow it for reasons. You know the reasons, but that's not in line with your political agenda, which is to have the guy who's wanting to end democracy become the next president of the United States and give him the keys to be able to completely do that. And it's dope. Sorry, John. I feel like I tangibly ruined your day with that.
No. I mean, look, the truth often is not fun, unfortunately, but I don't disagree with you. And we're gonna go to a break in just one sec, but because I think we're only gonna get to one story on the other side, I feel like I can go over just slightly and remind everyone that something is being lost in this, okay? And it's not about fascism, and it's not about elections. It's not even about chicken sandwiches, okay? It's about the milkshakes. Because Jesse Waters has been very clear about one thing above all else on his show, and I'll remind you of what that was here.
Joe Biden used a straw. Now, if you've seen me on The Five or on Primetime, you know I recommend that all men refrain from using straws. It's unbecoming, the way a man's lips purse. The size of the straw is just too dainty. The way your fingers clasp on it. No, come on. Straws are for women and little kids.
Well, I don't know if you're familiar with a milkshake, Jesse Waters. Do you know what one is? Do you know how one consumes it? Donald Trump had a big thirst for the milkshake. How do you think he drank it? Is he a woman? Is he a little kid? Was he dainty? Did his lips purse as he drank his Chick-fil-A milkshake, okay? And worse than that, it wasn't just that he did all of these things that you're coding as but not stating make Biden gay when he uses a straw, but he bought 30 of them. Okay, if he wants to be dainty with a straw, that's one thing, but he bought dozens for all sorts of people. And was there a kid in that group? Is he getting that kid to be dainty? Was he grooming via that milkshake? But I love that it's utter inconsistency. So Biden drinks from a straw, he's gay. Trump is sucking down a milkshake from a straw, total alpha. Joe Biden goes to an ice cream shop, that's elitist. He goes to Chick-fil-A, well, that's a man of the people. He's just compassionate, he's helping people out. They attack Joe Biden for having like a photo op. This is the most obvious photo op in history. He didn't just happen to get recorded there. And so it's just the utter inconsistency. Can you be, I know you're not gonna be consistent on the economy or foreign policy or something like that, but at least on straws, could you be consistent?
And anyway, if quick final made, point. And friends, if you've made it this far in the video, go back and watch the initial clip when Trump is ordering the milkshake, because the way it sounded to me, he was buying the chicken for everyone there. But the way he ordered the milkshake, it was like the 30 of them were for him.
Yeah, maybe we'll put that in there. Anyway, we'll see. Anyway, we gotta take our last break. Don't go anywhere, we'll be right back. That was fun. See, everybody, you should be watching live. I know you're listening on the podcast and I love that. You're the best, but also every once in a while, watch live, it's fun.
But we also tried to make an emblem for the Dragon Squad. The Year of the Dragon Squad, a Chinese New Year inspired Year of the Dragon Squad, and this one won. Oh no, I have to change the file format. So stay tuned for the aftermath when we'll reveal.
We'll see it in the aftermath. But for now, we're gonna talk about the news. Every day is a fresh hell for Mike Johnson, and we're committed to making sure that that stays the case. But for right now, the hell comes in a particular form, in that Mike Johnson is kind of reeling. He's been being attacked by Marjorie Greene. The crazies among his crazy caucus want his blood, and he needs support. And so he's doing, I think, honestly, a smart thing to get it, which is cozying up to Papa Trump, signing on to the big lie. And that's going to come in this particular form. He's traveling down to Mar-a-Lago. He's going to help Trump push his voter fraud claims, push the big lie. You can see this Chad Pergram put out a comment about it. It's an election integrity bill meetup at Mar-a-Lago. They want to bar non-citizens from voting. And it should not be difficult to achieve because it is already the case. Non-citizens cannot vote, so the bill can be brief. Honestly, the paper can be blank because that's already the law. But look at Mike Johnson, willing, because he needs Donald Trump's support to maybe call off Marjorie Greene. He's willing to pretend to believe this utter nonsense and conspiracy theories. So foreign nationals are already barred from voting in federal elections. The most non-citizens can do is that in some, but not all, not the majority of local elections, they might be able to vote in exclusively local elections. And bear in mind that while the right wing would have you believe that someone born in a foreign country is not really a person, they do still live there and work or study there. So maybe they should have a say in what happens there. Remember, many of these people will go on to become citizens. Maybe giving them more stake in the game is not necessarily a bad thing. The idea that these people want to participate in our democratic tradition maybe is a sign of their commitment to that tradition. Unfortunately, it's a tradition that the right wing is turning away from. And again, just in local elections and just in some places. But at the same time that they're doing this little BS meetup, they are still advancing more than just rhetoric. They're challenging a lot of the ways that people vote around the country, and they're going to continue to do that despite the fact that they've said that the RNC is going to sing a different tune in this election. Laura Trump was saying, we're going to do early voting and we're going to do mail-in voting. Well, they went right back to demonizing those things, and Trump is still fighting against mail-in ballots despite the fact that, and I will never stop reminding you, he votes by mail, but he doesn't want you to be able to. And that doesn't mean that they're not going to try to get some of these votes. At the same time that they're trying to kill them legally, you have like Turning Point USA raising over $100 million to try to get people to vote in these ways they say are fraudulent. So there's a very mixed message ideologically coming out of this. But Mike Johnson's goal, at least, I think is fairly clear. Brett, what do you make of all this?
There's a lot. Like I would take them at their word if they were just talking about this. But at the same time, there's this new Republican talking point that Biden has that Biden's previous executive order made it possible for non-citizens and felons to vote, which it just did not. It just did not. And they're running with that. Meanwhile, they're the ones. The Republicans are the ones trying to make it so that citizens of the United States are purged from the voter rolls to the tunes of hundreds of thousands per state. They will do anything in their power until they get to the point where they have more Republicans than Democrats in the country, even though they have the Electoral College to pad their losses and turn them into wins. They still are doing everything. And I guarantee you, as soon as they have more people on their side, once all of their nefarious messaging pans out, once they have more people on their side, they're absolutely going to make it impossible for everyone to vote. Like they're going to solidify and they're going to turn this into a fascist state. It's just always the nefarious nature of how they conduct business, because their priority is not preserving America as it was intended to be. It's just winning and getting rich.
It's winning. It's all that's there's no ideology beyond that. There's cosplaying ideology in pursuit of that goal, and that's it. But I agree. And unfortunately, we are out of time, I believe. But I want to thank everyone who's been watching live and those of you listening on the podcast. I love it. I'm a big fan of podcasts myself. If you are listening to the podcast, consider rating and reviewing us on whatever podcast platform you use. If you're on Apple Podcasts, that would really help. It always does. I know it takes a moment out of your time, but I read them and I enjoy them. So write me a message. I'm going to go later today and check it, and I will see what you write. And then also remember that we do other content, so go to the YouTube channel so you can see that. Anyway, much more to come on the other side, including Garbage People of the Week. So we'll see you in just a few.